for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. This is episode 604. It is Friday, April 19th, 2024. We got a great show for you today over the next 45 minutes. Me, you, Kimberly from the couch, JK Illadelf, Gary Ruddle across the pond, Michelle Dane, Cyber Newbie, Cherie Slam, Carol, Terry Stokes, Zombie Guy Justin, the Blue Badges like Alfredo Hinoso, Carrie, Marcus, Kyler, the Yeet Crew, BSEC, casually, Joseph in the green room. Guys, we are all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction for your business stakeholders? Or if you're looking to break into the industry, settle in because we've got hot takes, top news, threat actors, techniques, lessons learned. The networking is chef's kiss. And on top of all of it, you will be asked in any single cybersecurity job interview, how do you stay current on the industry? When you drop Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief bombs on the interview panel, they're just like, like straight up face melting like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. So settle in. It's going to be a great show. Just so everybody knows, I do not prepare or research for any of these stories, which might sound like a complete liability, but believe me, I've been working in the industry a wicked long time. I've got hot takes on everything, so it's never really been a problem. We're going to deliver value to you. I guarantee you, I promise. Now, before we get into the show, let me say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, those businesses that have made the decision to align themselves with us, hashtag Team SC, starting with my good friend Eric Taylor and the crew at Barricade Cyber Solutions. They're dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks, they cause massive issues for businesses. They send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what, guys? Barricade Cyber Solutions, they're excellent at yeeting threat actors out the environment and getting you back up and running, which is absolutely chef's kiss, the whole point of calling them. Get them at BarricadeCyber.com. Thank you so very much, Barricade Cyber, for all you do and for supporting the channel. Now, I also want to say shout out. We're doing a little delete me action here. Let me get this going. Guys, I've been using delete me for about a month right now. I freaking love it. It's very, very useful. It's very, very effective. Okay, so check it out. As a person, I exist publicly, right? My face is all over the thing. I got a video for that, which means that anyone in the world can watch a video for that. I'm hyper aware of safety and security, right? I've had some jackwagon threaten to swat me just recently. And it's very easy, unfortunately, to find my home address, which totally sucks. The data, it's just out on the internet. Data brokers, it can have real life consequences. It's not just trolls on the comments, right? But I recently found a solution, and this is a service called Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes personal info from the largest search databases on the web and helps prevent ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. So when you sign up, it's very simple. You tell them what data you don't want on the internet. I put in my full address, my full name, my email addresses, etc. And they went off and took care of it. It was wicked awesome. First time live, Juan Amaya. Welcome to the party, pal. So guys, do me a favor. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at the special discount for Simply Cyber listeners. Today, you can get 20% off Delete Me plans when you go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and use my promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter the code SimplyCyber at checkout. J-O-I-N, DELETEME.com/SimplyCyber. On a personal note, I'm signing my family up for it. I talked to my mother-in-law. I did like a deep dive OSINT thing last night from my mother-in-law. I'm going to get her signed up. It's a great service. It's basically, you know what I like about Delete Me? They're not trying to do all the things. They literally are doing one thing. They delete your data from the internet, like, and they do it well. So giddy up on that. All right, guys, every single episode of the Simply Divers Daily Cyber Threat Brief, just like today's, is worth half a CPE. So be sure to say what's up in chat, like David just did, hashtag Team SC. Jenny Housley, loving Jenny Housley, mod love. Jenny's always crushing it. Thank you so much, Jenny, for all you do. Laura Flores is up in here. Guys, I think Gary Ruddle might be get out of here with that. We're not through yet. We need more music. More music. Yes, there we go. So say hello to Gary if he's in chat. Guys, the final thing I want to say is if episode 604 is your first episode today, obviously, right? If today's your first episode, drop a hashtag first timer in chat. Why? Because we're not going to call you out. Oh, look at this, first timer. No, we're supportive. We're inclusive. Think of like walking into a conference hall and everybody turns around and a light shines an open seat in the middle of the group and everybody says, hey, come sit here. Come sit next to us. Be part of this crew. That's what we are doing here. So say hashtag first timer if it's your first show and let us welcome you. We've got a special sound effect. We've got a special emote. Space Tacos knows what it is. Hey, Chris K. Hall, good to see you. J.E. and Michelle. GG, I don't know what the question mark is, GG, but we'll assume that means first timer. Welcome to the party, pal. All right, guys. Now, as fun as it is to play and have fun and do sound effects and stuff, we do have work to do. So let's get through that. We've got 30 minutes of jawjacking at the end of the show. I see Abafunso Adenike. Welcome to the party, pal. I see Vulof. Welcome to the party, pal, or Wolf. Welcome to the party. Yes, I love it. I love it. Edgarin87. Welcome to the party. Yes, welcome to the party, pal. And squad members, if you can, please drop those welcome to the party, pal emotes in there. Welcome to the party, pal. Thank you all so very much. Love it, love it, love it. Ms. Julian's in the house, everybody. All right, so we got work to do. Oh, my God, right? It's Friday. Can't I just like, you know, hang out by the coffee machine and just kind of chill for a second. But we got work to do. So do me a favor, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, get comfortable. Hey, Latasha, Seth, good to see you. Welcome to the party, pal. Yep, Cyber Hamburglar's a long timer for sure. Hey, guys, Review Queen LA in the house. Welcome Damn, party, son, pal. I don't know where all the first timers are coming from, but I love it. Welcome to the party, everybody. We have these like fits, like ebbs and flows of first timers. But absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, yeah, don't worry, Jay and Michelle. This first story is about to get Warren G and Nate Dogg all up in the space. So do me a favor, Jared Thomas. Welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the party, pal. And let's get to work, right? Sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome wave. I will see you guys at the mid-roll. Mid-roll, it's a... Grayson's Joke of the Week, presented by James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Let's go.
Cybersecurity headlines.
Get your coffee.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Police bust reveals sophisticated phishing as a service platform. Police from numerous countries have arrested 37 people and seized websites, all relating to the use of a phishing-as-a-service technology called LabHost that offers phishing pages that target banks and other businesses located mostly in Canada, the US, and the UK. According to Trend Micro, LabHost is designed to replicate banks, government entities, and other major organizations, deceiving users into entering their credentials and two-factor authentication codes. Victims are driven there through phishing campaigns, and the ease of use of LabHost and its integrated and automated campaign management tool named LabRat lowers the barrier to entry for people looking for an easy way to get into the phishing business.
All right, here we go.
Regulators! Mount up. It was a...
Yes, sir! You know what? I don't care where you are. If you're a threat actor, I hope you don't sleep well at night. I hope you're concerned that a door is going to get kicked in. law enforcement loves breaking in and raiding you around 4:30 a.m. in the morning, local time. Love it, love it, love it. Yes, here we go. Let's get this hot going. Here we go. Casually Joseph dropping this. I feel like it's so appropriate. It's a Friday. Let's do it. Yes, sir. Okay, so here's the deal with this, guys. Even though with ChatGPT, it's unbelievably easy to write compelling phishing emails, it's still, there's a barrier to entry. Oh, I've got to get the infrastructure. Oh, I've got to, you know, you can send the email, right? But what are you going to do? Like, what's the action on objective that you're trying to get your victim to do, right? Again, this isn't Threat Actor Academy. I'm just, put your mind in the space of the threat actor. So if you're going to have them go to a landing page and drop their creds into a fake landing page like Social Engineering Toolkit, you got to get the landing page up. You got to get the web server right. You got to be able to collect those creds, maybe have them get shoved off somewhere and collected, right? That introduces challenge and sophistication and, frankly, infrastructure that you have to manage. So welcome to the cloud where, you know, everything's easy and you can scale it, you know, at the speed of business. That includes phishing platforms. So this is a business-to-business offering. And basically, they did the infrastructure for a couple hundred bucks a month. Honestly, guys, honestly, I think between 100, they said their plans were $179 to $300 a month, which honestly, that's quite affordable if you think about it. If you can send, you know, not infinite emails, but, you know, it's not like you're paying for stamps, right? You can send an awful lot of emails, and all you need to do is trick one victim into giving you $300 in Best Buy gift cards or whatever, or, you know, get their credentials and log into their account and commit some type of crime up to $300. You cover your monthly cost. I really feel like that's not that bad if you think about like what the service is offering. So anyways, compelling offer, you know, first to market, whatever. I'm wicked happy that in international law enforcement, Europol, I do love myself some Europol. They're not Interpol, right? I'm a bigger fan of Interpol. I want the gray shirt with the letters that just say Interpol on it. But I love this. Coordinated effort, takedown. Here's the deal, guys. Final thing I'll say about this. In order to take down cyber criminal actors, you need international law enforcement. The concept of like, ooh, there's a, you know, there's the Teflon Don and the Italian mob operating out of New York City with a branch in Vegas. That's all a U.S. problem. Like, we are gone. We're so far gone from geographical boundaries, pinning in threat actors, that you need international law enforcement to do coordinated takedowns. I love it. Like, you know, I'm not saying we need like international cyber police, but that would be pretty cool. The final thing I'll say, and this is unfortunate, but this is a truth, so I've got to say it. Just like dark web marketplaces, this is going to go down, right? But if they don't catch everybody, then it's going to come back. And even if they do catch everybody, this is proven as a successful business model. I don't know how much money this threat actor group was making. Let me see if they have a dollar figure in here. Okay, so LabHost received about $1 million in payments from criminal users since its launch. Okay, so this is a million-dollar business. Ooh, look at this infographic. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey. I might have to print this out and pin it up. I'll be right back. I'm joking. If you're a long-timer, you know I have like an unhealthy fascination with infographics. The final thing I'll say is, like, basically, this is proven as a successful business model. So someone else is going to stand it up. So we need to continue to educate our end users on best practices. We need to continue to update our, you know, firewalls with, you know, malicious domains, you know, looking for things like, oh, this domain was just registered or whatever. So that's all I'll say about this. But good for law enforcement. It's a win. Yes, infographics are so hot, Joel Harrison.
That Hansel's so hot right
Students
now.
Students turn to cyber fraud to boost their incomes. One development from the LabHost story just mentioned is the discovery by police in the UK of the number of university students who have turned to cyber fraud using platforms like LabHost to make some easy money, largely by selling the personal data that their phishing campaigns reduce. Metropolitan Police Detective Inspector Oliver Richter, speaking to The Guardian, said, quote, 5 years ago, a cyber fraudster would need technical skills like being able to code, end quote. He added, though, that many of the phishing as a service users now are younger, they're at university and very likely to go on to legitimate careers. He said they see this because it is so easy to do as something that is anonymous, end quote.
All right. So this actually is a story that is kind of a follow-up or a, you know, a partner story to the one we just covered. So this Labhos phishing platform, this story is about the operators, if you will, of the phishing platform getting taken down and getting mud holes stuck in stomped in their butt. But they are the cloud service provider. They're the software as a service. This story is about the customers, if you will, of that service. Now, remember, in this scheme, right, there's the hosting service, right? Then there's the customers, and then there's the victims. So, I mean, really, it's like Office 365, right? Like, they host email, I use it, and then I email potential sponsors about sponsorship opportunities. They're my they're my customers, but my victims, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. This shouldn't surprise you. Couple things. One, if you guys were, you know, 18 to 22 at any point in your life, and if you're 18 to 22 right now, I apologize for the following, but also it's a hard truth that we should be real about. When you're 18 to 22, you definitely feel like you got it all figured out. And then as you get older, you realize like, oh, I didn't. There's a lot of living I need to do to get it all figured out. So when you're 18 to 22, university students, they're racking up student debt. They got loads of free time. I know you're working hard on your studies, but let's be real. There's a reason that the college weekend starts on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? So if one person is making some straight cash, homie, right?
Straight cash, homie.
They're going to go to a party. They're going to talk to their flatmates, if I may use a British term. Gary Ruddle is in chat. So, Gary, let me know if I'm using British terms correctly. Pip, pip, cheerio. They're going to say, hey, man, I made $10,000 last week using this service. Like, it's super easy. You just sign up and they do it for you. And other students are going to be like, oh, cool, why not? Because they don't realize the consequences of their action. And if you're not technically inclined, which this website is designed for, it's literally designed to lower the barrier to entry to be a threat actor. You're not going to understand. It's not anonymous. You're not on the dark web as like a hidden shadowy figure. You're literally, you have to pay them, right? So what are you putting in PayPal? You're going to get into Bitcoin and all that. They're able to track you. So I do want to point out that basically this is a user population. But what I do want to point out is, what the hell? I'm bleeding. Hold on. Sorry. Sorry, Kennedy. This law enforcement takedown, they have the infrastructure now. So all of the customers of this platform, including these students, are probably identified. Now, I don't know if law enforcement's going to go after these students, but it's not a good look. So if you're 18 to 22 right now and you're, you know, committing crimes, guess what? They will follow you. Oh, by the way, if you ever go for like a security clearance too, they may ask about this. And if you lie, that's not going to be good either.
Don Quixote campaign aims at Middle Eastern entities using CR4T malware. Researchers at Kaspersky are warning of a new malware campaign they discovered in February that targets government entities in the Middle East. Named by Kaspersky as Don Quixote, it uses droppers along with tampered installer files for a legitimate tool named Total Commander, which each deliver malicious code intended to download a backdoor named CR4T. The researchers add that, quote, the group behind the campaign took steps to prevent collection and analysis of its implants and implemented practical and well-designed evasion methods both in network communications and in the malware code, end quote.
All right. So looking at this, oh yeah, this is a really well done, this is a really well done blog post. Okay, hold on one second, hold on. So Secureless, who did this work? We discovered a new malware. Okay, so I don't know who Secureless is tied to, okay? But what I will tell you is this is yet another example of I assume a security company. Hold on, let me look up the Secureless company. Because it influences, Oh, Secure List is Kaspersky's threat intel. Okay, so guys, like Cisco has Cisco Talos. Google has like a tag. I think that's their blog group. But every major security product vendor that can afford it has a threat like a security research team, because spending 20 grand on a banner in Times Square, like we as practitioners are going to look at it and be like, okay, whatever. But if you spend it on staff to do research and publish blog posts about interesting stuff, then you're like, oh yeah, this is cool. So that's a wicked common practice. And I love it, frankly, because it adds value to us. We got another first timer in here. I saw Welcome to the Party, Pal by Phil Stafford. So I'm just going to blindly play it. Welcome to the party, pal. Now, here's the deal. I recommend this blog post. Okay. So check this out. I'm going to drop this link in chat for a couple reasons. One, basically, this is a, at its surface, at the macro level, this is a piece of malware that is targeting a very specific victim pool, right? Middle Eastern governments. I don't know exactly what it does. This is an initial dropper, which is basically just to get initial infection and then be able to basically do a post-exploitation and pull down other malware without being detected or anything like that. This is a very common practice, like for malware, right? You do an initial infection with a dropper, and then you actually go pull the payloads you want, because you honestly, like, just so the more you know here, you want your malware infrastructure. Again, this isn't threatactoracademy.com, but we got to understand the way the bad guys operate so we can defend it. You want your malware infrastructure to basically be modular, because if you put everything in one payload, first of all, it's larger executable, so it might get detected or blocked or whatever. But secondly, when you pull down, say you make an update to the ransomware, or you're selling the services, like, oh, I can get you access to Middle Eastern governments. What do you want to do? Info stealing, creds, persistence, ransomware. Like, what do you want to do? So you build it in a modular structure. So once you drop your dropper, that gets you access. Now you can do whatever you want to do on, you know, action on objective. And the modularity offers flexibility and maintenance capabilities. Okay. So this is what Dune Quixote is. It's a dropper. Also, shout out for capturing the intersection between popular media right now with the movie Dune and the Middle East, where there's sand dunes, I assume. I've never been to the Middle East, but I've seen pictures. Finally, what I want to spend a minute on, and this is more for people looking to break in. So I'm going to drop a more you know emote. Every once in a while, I like to go a little deeper. In the world of malware, let me do this. Okay, so in the world of malware, threat actors who write more sophisticated malware, they do not want people like you being able to look at the malware and understand what it does. They do not want it analyzed. There's a lot of techniques to do anti-analysis, right? One of them, they do a couple of them here, but one of them is this right here. Take a good look at this. This is assembly, right? So this is disassembled, but you know, it doesn't matter that it's assembly, but these are useless function calls. So they're in Spanish, it looks like, but that does not matter. So as a security researcher, this thing, you find this thing, you discover this asset and you're like, oh, what does it do? And you're like, okay, so get system time, compare last. Okay. It's got this function call, and you spend cycles analyzing and trying to follow the path. And all of these are dummy calls. These don't matter to the operation of the malware. This is literally designed to frustrate, confuse, and delay actual analysis. Additionally, you could see here, this is the actual payload and it's encrypted. You could see they're using encryption and decryption techniques. It looks like the function call here is decrypt mutually or XOR, right? So, and it's passing an encrypted value or an encrypted string. So this is a decryption algorithm. So again, if you're just analyzing it, you won't see the payload because it's encrypted. So that's another anti-analysis technique, right? And then this is just a classic malware technique, right? They find the PEB or the offset of the PEB, then they get into the function or they find where kernel, the DLL is for the kernel 32. And then they are able, because now they've gotten around ASLR, they are able to call Windows system functions like get proc address to find all the other function calls. Again, I am not a software exploitation expert. I don't do it daily. I have studied it academically, but this is what they do. Okay. This is a great blog post. I love this. This is, if you are interested in advanced software exploitation, reverse engineering, malware analysis, this is excellent because it actually gets into the details of system function calls and the way that the Windows operating system actually works, and basically memory and address, pointing to addresses and stuff like that for function calls. The final thing I'll say here, it says, is if any of the anti-analysis checks fail, the malware returns a value of 1, which will trigger it to remove the H from HTTPS, and the it will prevent connection to the C2 server. So basically, this whole blog post is about anti-analysis. This is a very interesting piece of malware. Another thing with malware anti-analysis is that they'll look at the running processes to see if there's anything running like procmon, process hacker. It doesn't say a pate here, but like basically the tools that security researchers use to analyze malware, if it sees any of those running in memory, which you can't avoid that, it'll basically nerf itself so you can't detect it. So good bit of blog post research and a nice little use case for how modern malware works in a Windows environment.
Overlooked Windows fibers offer a handy route for malicious payload deployment. Independent security researcher Daniel Jarry described Windows fibers as, quote, an alternative to the standard threads that Windows uses to execute code from the OS or an application, end quote. They were developed at a time when CPUs had fewer cores available to them and could only accommodate so many threads, he added. More powerful processors have made fibers redundant, but as he demonstrated through two proof-of-concept attacks in a session at Black Hat Asia on Thursday, they now represent, quote, a largely undocumented code execution pathway that is therefore largely overlooked by endpoint detection and response platforms, end quote.
All right. Hey, really quick, Mice in Milk, first timer live in chat. Judges? Oh, yeah, they're giving me the head nod. Welcome to the party, pal. All right. So Black Hat Asia just happened. I follow Jason Haddix on Twitter, and he's been there, and he's a great follow, by the way. And so I've kind of been living vicariously through him. But EDR proof code execution, that basically means that it can bypass endpoint detection and response, which is a host-based security control that's pretty important, frankly. CrowdStrike, Carbon Black, Windows Defender, etc. So sneaky shell code. What I was doing mod chat stuff there, so I kind of missed this, but let me take a look really quickly. Undocumented code execution pathway exclusively used in user mode, which is interesting. Usually you want to execute stuff in kernel mode because that's where the EDR is definitely focused on. Let's see. Proof of concept at Black Hat Asia. Very nice. This is interesting. So I've heard of threads. Threads are like in computer execution, like when you have processes, there are threads that get spun up, and they're kind of like workers. They do pieces of work, and you can have, if you've ever like done like an nmap scan or something like that, which many of us have, you can increase the amount of concurrent processes running in unison. And those are basically like threads. Like you can ratchet up the number of threads to ratchet up the amount of memory and amount of execution. But obviously there's a cost because it's resource allocation. Apparently there's something called fibers that are like threads that are in the Windows operating system. They were developed when CPUs had fewer cores available to accommodate only so different threads. This is really interesting. So fibers are a Windows function, but overlooked by security teams. Okay, so here's the deal. Hold on. I want to just see if there's some way. This guy's able to execute shell code on a machine that's fully secure, right? So that's the problem, right? This is kind of like a zero day against the Windows operating system. I would imagine that Microsoft Windows is going to be the one who develops some type of patch to get this addressed. And it says it's able to basically call the shell code behind a dormant benign fiber. So honestly, this is really, really advanced, but this looks a lot like process hollowing. If you're familiar with process hollowing, basically there's a benign or completely legit process that's running on the operating system, and you can wipe part of the memory out in the middle of the process and shove shell code into there, and it'll run. But you hollowed it out, and you're running your malicious code inside of the comfort of the benign approved process. This kind of sounds like this. Like, it looks like a legit fiber, but you're hiding behind it. Here's the thing. I got to tell you two things. One, I don't know what you're supposed to do as far as defending from this, honestly. So I'll tell you a couple things. One, this is concerning. Okay, this is a real thing, right? It is advanced, so it's not like it's going to be like the stupid phishing website where you just give $200 and all of a sudden you get access to executing Windows fibers. But if you are an advanced offensive security professional, this is interesting. If you are a software exploitation or security researcher, this is very interesting. If you are a threat actor in an APT capability, this is pretty much like what you're working on this week. This is a native feature to Windows operating system, which means that, 90% of all computers used in all corporate and governments worldwide have this function, which can be utilized. It can bypass EDR, which is obviously very concerning. And like I said, typically what you're going to want to do with your initial payload as a dropper is you're going to want to basically disable EDR and then pull down second stage payloads for, persistence, info stealing, et cetera. This is concerning. I would expect Microsoft Windows to develop some type of patch or to just sunset fibers. The final thing I want to get across to everybody is, I don't do this, but I don't have the time for it. But it's very interesting. Don't think that if you're going to do some research or find something interesting or do a blog post, don't think that you need to look at the cutting edge, bleeding edge stuff. I'll look at quantum computing because no one's done that yet. This is functionality that existed in Windows, it seems like, for years. What I would encourage you to do is go look at Windows is pretty advanced, but for access for starters and beginners and stuff, RFC, request for comments, right? RFC and then some number. Like RFC 1918 is how public and private IP address spacing works, right? Your 192s, your 10 dots, your 172s. That is an RFC. Go look at those RFCs because they outline how a protocol is going to work. A lot of times people think of protocols, even TCP, right? Let's just use Transport Control Protocol as a quick example. Everybody is familiar with the SYN, ACK, three-way handshake for establishing a TCP connection. But did you know that there's eight flags? SYN is one flag, ACK is another flag, but there's eight other flags. There's a FIN flag, there's a reset flag, I can't remember all the flags, but basically there are flags that people don't necessarily focus on all the time. And that is the fringe. And if you're going to find interesting things to do and, from a malware analysis or from a exploitation perspective or whatever, innovative, novel research, go look in the margins, go look at those elements of a protocol that are not mainstream. That's where people aren't looking. And that's where there's tons of opportunity. Let's go.
And now a word from our sponsor, Conveyor. Happy Friday. Are you tired of hearing about Conveyor's AI security review automation software? Well, we will stop talking about it if you book a call. Ready to give the market-leading AI for security questionnaires a spin? You can try a free proof of concept at www.conveyor.com. That is conveyor.com. And don't forget to mention this podcast for 5 free questionnaire credits when you purchase a pro plan.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Hey, for all you first-timers, get ready for this. Get ready. Get in the DeLorean. Go back in the Wayback Machine because we do this every mid-roll. Yes, sir. It's Simply Cyber Breakfast Club. Let's go. Oh, yes. There's an urgent flag. There's a push flag. Guys, hey, if you are getting value from the stream, entertainment value, education value, any value whatsoever, thank you so very much. Do me a favor. Hit that like button. We have so many first timers in chat today. Do you know why? I bet you yesterday, lots of you hit the like button during the stream. And YouTube algorithm was like, hey, let's go tell other people looking at cyber content about this show. So pay it forward. Let's get more people on Monday. I want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber, Delete Me, and Anti-Siphon. Guys, let me tell you about Anti-Siphon. Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by offering cutting-edge, valuable, high-quality education to everyone, everyone. Regardless of financial position, they offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and most importantly, engage with a fun and inclusive community. If you're enjoying the stream and all the people who are in chat right now, there's a huge overlap between that and Black Hills or Anti-Siphon Training. So their training, I've taken the Active Defense and Cyber Deception with John Strand, which is coming up, by the way, and you could take that right there for $0. This is a wicked awesome class. It tells you how to do honeypots, kind of hunt forward stuff, attacking with venom instead of poison, right? So go check it out, antisiphontraining.com. Love it, love it, love it. Guys, we will run the la-la-la part, okay? When the la-la-las come, we're all going to do it in unison. Guys, every single day we do the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. I need someone to take the baton. Who wants it? Need any newcomers. If you're a first timer, listen up. You might want to volunteer. If you want to build your LinkedIn professional network, and if you want your LinkedIn feed to be mostly cybersecurity content, meaning valuable resources, support, jobs, listen up. Go on LinkedIn. Search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. It's as easy as that. Connect to the people posting. Connect with the comment on the post. Connect to the people in the comments. It's as easy as that. I guarantee you in 1 week for 5 minutes a day, you will blow up your network. All right? Simple as that. I need someone to take the baton. I need someone to take the baton. Hold on. We'll talk about that bopper no stopper in a second. Take the baton. All right. Every single day, Brian Bates with the baton. Brian Bates, thank you. And Joe Nathan, come back Monday, and Brian will give it to you. So Brian Bates has got the baton. Everybody look for Brian Bates's LinkedIn post. Now, every single day of the week, there's a special thing. Today is James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet, joke of the week. Why are landscapers so expensive? Because they use cutting-edge technology. Thank you, James McQuiggan. James also wants you to know, what do you call a cow that eats your grass? A lawn mower. A lawn mower. Oh, my God. Belly aches. Hilarious. All right, here we go with the la-la-las, everybody. Thanks, James McQuiggan. Let's get your la-la-las in chat. Let's go. So good, so good. I guarantee you, you will not walk through a department store that's playing this and not think of Simply Cyber. Can't help it. All right, guys, let's finish strong.
Michigan Healthcare Organization suffers data breach. Cherry Street Services, also known as Cherry Health, suffered an attack on December 21st and initially notified patients in January, followed up by an update in February. This week, the organization confirmed that this had been a ransomware incident and revealed that approximately 184,000 individuals were affected. The compromised information includes standard PII as well as information on health insurance, treatments, prescriptions, patient IDs, and financial account information.
All right, so here we go. It's another day. It's another ransomware attack resulting in data breach. We are the victims. You and I, Jesse Johnson, David Robbins, LaGrotte, Gary Ruddle. You're lucky Gary Ruddle being over in the UK because Michigan got hit this time. Guys, healthcare organizations are getting pounded. I feel like the entire ransomware threat actor community had a collective decision back in I think it was when international law enforcement took down, they took down, was it Lockbit? No. They took down somebody. It wasn't Alfie or Black Cat or Lockbit. It was like somebody, it was a large organization like last year. I can't remember, but like collectively, the high ranking members of the Ransomware Threat Actor Guild basically said, okay, fine. Healthcare is now on the table. Get busy, get wild. And, we're seeing it repeatedly. I just gave a keynote talk in front of a room full of healthcare related professionals about AI. And dude, ransomware, like the techniques that deploy ransomware, like they're using AI, spoiler alert. So unfortunately, 180,000 people got impacted. Michigan, Cherry Street Services, we'll see if they get back up and running, right? I'm not sure. Here's the thing. When you see the term ransomware attack, okay, when you see the term ransomware attack, that is now doesn't necessarily mean exactly what it always means, right? So when you say ransomware, we used to think encrypted files and they're ransoming you the key back. But it also can be they took your files, did not encrypt your stuff, and they're ransoming your data back to you, right? So now it's like it's a double extortion technique if you do both. But my point is, ransom doesn't necessarily mean IT services are down. It just means that some threat actor has something of value that they're trying to sell back to you, i.e. ransom it back to you. Unfortunately, social security, phone number, health insurance, this is a regular cornucopia of intel for a threat actor to then pursue targeted phishing attacks and social engineering attacks on specific victims using this information for credibility. Okay, so let's put it all together. I buy this data, so now I know who you are. I have date of birth, social, health insurance, patient ID number, et cetera, and financial account information, which means, I know you guys can't see it as well on stream, but which means I'm going to sort by financial value, like who's the richest person in this list or the top 15. Then I'm going to go to a phishing platform like LabHost. Thank God they're taken down. I'm going to pay $300. I'm going to get an entire infrastructure. Then I'm going to email my list of victim pool, have all this believable information and say I'm Cherry Street Services or I'm some, organization that they hired. And, you owe $300 for your last visit. There was a delta. Click here to pay, right? And now I've paid for my lab hosting platform for the month. And then everything else on top of that is just cream. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, right? Do we have a cream emote? I think we have cream. Where's the cream? Oh, we do have cream. If you don't know, hey, if you're young and don't have gray hair and don't know what cream means, Google it, but also NSFW. Everything Wu-Tang is NSFW. All right. TLDR, this is a standard story. I say it all the time. Ransomware. Okay, guys. Tabletop exercises, end user awareness training, good security defenses at the perimeter, at the endpoint, and good luck.
Rude, cheap ransomware tools proliferate on the dark web.
Proliferate.
In a story somewhat related to the lab host issue, researchers at the intelligence unit at cybersecurity firm Sophos have announced the increased presence of what they call cheap ransomware being sold for one-time use on dark web forums, allowing inexperienced freelancers to get into cybercrime, end quote. They add that these tools differ from ransomware as a service models because there are no affiliates involved who expect a cut of the profits. The researchers add that low-skilled criminals use such tools at their own risk, since they may also be defective or backdoored as part of the scam. UN.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. Chappelle in the race draft skit. I think the Chinese contingent drafted Wu-Tang. So, okay, crude ransomware tools proliferating on the dark web. Okay, so basically, guys, I'm seeing a trend here. So, like, let's put this into the macro level picture. Again, like I said at the beginning, if you're looking to break into the industry, there's value here because you need to understand macro level trends and stuff like that. Today, the macro level trend is that threat actors, yes, I'm a threat actor and I can download I can create malware and I can target whatever company and try to get them. Maybe I get paid, maybe I don't, but there's obviously a large ecosystem here of business opportunity to make malware and phishing and cybercrime as a service. And it's much more dependable, right? Here's a phishing platform lab hosting thing, right? I can get $300 a month, monthly recurring revenue, right? SaaS services and do that. Here we go. Here's another one. You don't need to understand how to commit phishing or anything. You just get the service and they give you a playbook. This right here, you don't have to understand how to write malware or do info stealers. You can just buy this junk ransomware and deploy it. KevTech IT support with a super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Big fan of KevTech IT support, guys. If you don't know Kevin, not only is he a really great person and a solid member of the, the larger cybersecurity community. I also want to quickly give him some love. I know he didn't do the gifted sub for that reason, but dude, this is KevTech IT Support's YouTube channel. Big fan. If you don't know, now you know. We're getting all the 90s lyrics. That was Biggie, if you didn't know. Biggie! Okay, so anyways, I think this is hilarious because, first of all, there's no honor among thieves. So some of this crude malware doesn't even work correctly. So they're basically just robbing punks, right? So like you're a college student and you're like, oh man, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get all this money. Check it out. And then like a threat actor just sells you this and you're like, what are you going to do? Like go cry to your mom? Like, oh, he stole my money. It's like, bro, you're dealing with criminals, you fool. So you can get bunk ransomware. And they actually said sometimes they're backdooring the malware itself. So you're literally trying to commit crime and you're installing a Trojan on your own machine, you donkey. Okay?
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
He suffers ransomware attack. The United Nations Development Program, which works on poverty and inequality projects in 170 countries around the world, has stated that the attack involved the theft of PII of some past and current personnel, as well as procurement information relating to some suppliers and other contractors. According to the record, quote, when asked whether the United Nations Development Program would pay a ransom, the spokesperson said they do not engage with threat actors and that no ransom has or will be paid. End quote. The targeted server was located in UN City in Copenhagen.
UN City? I didn't even know that was a thing. That sounds like something that sounds like something my 8-year-old made up. Welcome to UN City, where UN stuff happens. Way to go. That's probably just ignorant American stuff. Copenhagen. Is Copenhagen in Denmark? I feel like that is, right? I feel like Copenhagen's in Denmark. And I'm thinking of like those Dutch cookies, the ginger ones. They're so good. Okay. They look like windmills. You guys remember those? Those are like hot for a minute. Spicy. Okay. So basically some UN, server got hit with malware and they're ransomware and they're not going to pay the ransom. Okay. This sounds kind of like, it sounds like threat actor, just a crime of opportunity, coincidence, just hit a machine. It's one server. It did not move laterally. It did not bring the whole organization down. Frankly, I'm surprised this even made the news, right? If like one server goes down, you just rebuild the server, right? I mean, like you don't even like Carl's like, hey, there's a problem. Can you fix it? Yeah, it's done. You call Vanilla Ice, yo, if there's a problem, he'll solve it. That's what we do here. Apparently, Friday, April 19th is Throwback Friday on the 90s hip hop R&B channel. Blazin'. What was it? What's the New York City station? Blazin' 97 or something like that. All right. Anyways, this is whatever. I will say 8Base Ransomware is the one who claimed the attack. 8Base. I haven't heard of 8Base in a while. 8Base came out of nowhere, maybe a year and a half ago. And they were hot for a hot minute. And then I hadn't heard from them in a minute. So I actually wonder if you guys know, you threat actors like, not threat actors, like Casually Joseph, Eric Taylor, other people who are working on the CTI side or in the SecOps side. Let me know if you've been seeing 8Base and it just hasn't been in the news. But they were hot for a minute and then I haven't heard from them, which almost makes me think that they're a small gang. This is a speculation, right? Oh, yeah, Hot 97. With Funkmaster Flex. True story. I worked security at a Funkmaster Flex concert at UMass Amherst. Me, I was like 119 pounds working security at a hip hop concert. I got a free ticket though. I did a terrible job of my job. I actually didn't do my job. I was 19. Okay. Like give me a break. But I got into a Funkmaster Flex concert. Okay. So 8Base Ransomware. I think they got the money, got paid, and then just basically now they've run out of money. Chris Works with 5 gifted subs. Thanks, Chris Works.
We just become best friends.
Yep. And shout out to all those newly minted squad members. Compliments of Chris. I appreciate that. So here's the deal, guys. Again, it's a ransomware story. It's a day that ends in Y. Dark Web Informer. I really like this guy. I've been following this guy for a hot minute. He's really cool. 8Base naming multiple victims. A family-owned full-service grocery store with a pharmacy at 2 locations. Oh, my God. That sucks. Yeah, 8Base doesn't care. If my memory serves correctly, 8Base Ransomware Group doesn't give a flying F about who their victims are. They are an absolute for-profit. The 8Base Ransomware is basically like if you took capitalism and like pushed it through a Play-Doh. You know how like Play-Doh, you can stick like the forms through and then push it through and it comes out like a star or it comes out like a cylinder. Like you put like capitalism, raw capitalism in the Play-Doh maker and pull the lever through a ransomware or cyber criminal threat actor mold and 8Base Ransomware comes out. That's what's up. All right.
New Cadence supercomputers speed up creation of chips and software. San Jose-based Cadence Design Systems announced on Wednesday the latest version of its supercomputer based around a custom computing chip that is designed to speed up the creation of other computing chips and software that will run on them. With customers that include NVIDIA and Apple, Cadence says the year-long design process required for current chips is essentially too long. Therefore, its two upgraded systems, Palladium Z3 and Protium X3, create a virtual version of a chip that can start writing software while waiting for the physical chip to come back from the factory. A reminder to join us.
All right. Hey, we got more gifted subs coming in. Dude, Fridays are awesome. My 01 with 5 gifted subs.
We just become best friends.
Yep. Thanks for the super chat. And for people like Peter and Jamie Grunewald and Crimson and Matt Willett. Welcome to the party, pal. Enjoy those squad emotes. Very, very nice. Okay, so basically, I mean, this is not even a cybersecurity story. This is a, you know, tech industry manufacturing story. Basically, if you think of the life cycle of chip development and, you know, basically you have the hardware, right? The actual chips, then you need software to run on it. Basically, all that's happening here is the life cycle takes longer, and Cadence is basically writing code and software for chips that are not yet built. So they're running in parallel, a parallel pipeline. Like, that's the story. Yay. Okay. Way to go, Cadence. Wow. All right. I mean, I'm sure it's great for everybody, right? It's good for everybody. Like your iPhone's going to run faster, sooner, quicker, whatever. But for me, for the way I do work day in and day out, this is, I wouldn't even call this a speed bump of a story. This is like a recently repaired pothole that is pretty level with the street. So when you drive over it, you don't even notice. I hate to be such a callous prick about this story, but like, okay. Like, that's how I feel about this story. Okay. All right, guys, where are we at? 8:54? Oh yeah, let's go. All right, guys, I hope you got so much value from this stream. I love it, love it, love it. Here we go. Let's do the Oprah emotes. Guys, so many squad members, so much love. What do we got? 430 of you beautiful people here right now. If you were here just for the news, thank you so very much. I wish you a good day and would love it if you came back on Monday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Reminder, and this is a pretty heavy reminder, I will be in Las Vegas all next week, okay? I will be on the mobile studio, which always has its own idiosyncrasies. I will be getting up at 4:30 a.m. every single day so I can prep the show and go live at 5 a.m. local time, Pacific Standard Time. So all you Left Coast lovers, Nick Barker, Base Case, Boston Rob, who's in San Diego, all you Left Coast people, I'll be feeling the burn next week, and I'm with you 100%. But I would be an absolute poser if I changed the stream start time for my own convenience. So I'll be in Vegas all week filming the TV show. If you got to go, go. But if you want to hang out, we're going to be doing jawjacking for about 30 minutes, which is essentially a hangout. Ask me anything, share resources, and just high five in general. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, have a great day. Stay secure. And thank you all so very much for all the love. I'm regularly just throttled by how awesome this community is. Thank you so very much. And until next time, stay secure. Let's go get Jerry guy. Got to be careful with that Jerry guy. You got to keep eyes on him. He's dicey. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Jawjacking. I'm your host, Jerry Guy, coming hot off the heels of that nerd, Dr. Gerald Osher. Nerd. Oh, Jesus, hold on one second. Things are moving around the stage here. Yeah, so this is just Jawjacking. This is kind of the butt end, the wrap party from the Daily Cyber Threat Brief. So if you're, I know we had a bunch of first timers today. We do this every single day, 8 to 9 a.m. 1 hour is the news. And then we just hang out and have a good time because we are a community. This isn't just some stiff news broadcast, right? Nobody got time for that. We're a community, hashtag Team SC. What's up, Leonardo Nunez? I just want to give another quick shout out to Pamela. I see Pamela in chat. Pamela was gone for a minute, but she's back. It's good to see you. A lot of times people, I got to tell you guys, I know like Jesse Johnson's another good example. Guys, I get that life happens, ebbs and flows, like super busy. You have a new kid. K. Scott Powell, for example, life, family, right? I get it. We'll always be here, okay? I do not have, I don't have this grand vision of like blowing up Simply Cyber and selling it. I don't have an exit strategy. This isn't like a tech startup or like, this is just, I'm loving it. I'm part of it. So if you do dip, just know we'll be here. We'll be here when you come back. And you know, I hope if you do dip that, you know, it's all for good reasons and it's, you know, there's good fortune being brought your way. So, what's up, Daniel? Daniel Lowry in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Lowry in the house. If you did not know, Daniel Lowry is the man. Daniel Lowry was at HackSpaceCon. I think he was at B-Sides Tampa. Straight crush. Oh, my God. I have zero tolerance for computers that don't move quickly. Like, it's really a pet peeve. All right, really quick. I want to introduce you. Oh. It's always the wrong window. See, this, I always tell you guys. So basically, I have three monitors. I have the production monitor over here. Then I have the teleprompter right here. And this is what the Simply Cyber community looks like. I literally put this up every day so I can look at people while I'm staring into the camera just to make it a little bit more natural. So, hello. This is what I look at when I'm talking to the Simply Cyber community. Let me put the correct window up here. There we go. This is Daniel Lowry. Daniel Lowry, great guy, educator, plays a lot of guitar, offensive security guy. If you didn't know, now you know. Like Biggie said, let's bring Biggie back up. If you didn't know, now you know, Daniel Lowry, okay? Also, hey, Daniel, just a reminder, I'd love to send you, I want to bring you on the channel. I don't think you've ever been on Simply Cyber Live, have you? Let's get you on the show. And if you're going to Wild West Hackenfest, Daniel Lowry will be there. He and I always high five at Wild West Hackenfest. Take it easy, Mouse Fart Truth. Mouse Fart Truth? Mouse Fart Truth? Oh, hey, cool, Sabina D. Congratulations on the CEH. And also, I'm glad that you're getting value from the stream. Anybody going to B-Sides Charm this weekend? Drop it in chat. I also want to remind people that on the Simply Cyber Discord server, there is local meetups for different cities. So is B-Sides Charm Baltimore? Let me know. Hey, here's some questions coming in. Soulshine, do you have any video for how to become a cybersecurity analyst? All right, so Soulshine asked the question, do you have a video for becoming a cybersecurity analyst? Here's the deal, Soulshine. Unfortunately, that role, that title, cybersecurity analyst is a generic title. Like, you would have to be much more specific. I'm not being cute. I'm not being playful and being a peckerhead and mincing words with you. Like, literally, a SOC analyst could be billed as a cybersecurity analyst. A GRC analyst could be billed as a cybersecurity analyst. A threat intel analyst could be billed as a cybersecurity analyst. So, unfortunately, I have videos for all of those. So, you know, take heart that I do have a video for it, but I need to know what kind of work that cybersecurity analyst does so I can direct you to the correct video. So please follow up. And mods, if you see Soulshine, say it. Please let me know. I'm kind of got a lot going on. Okay, so it's in Baltimore. I believe there is a Simply Cyber Baltimore. Is there a Baltimore? There is not a Baltimore one. There's no Baltimore one, so that's no good. Hey, Jerry. This is from Gina Ghani. Hey, Gina Ghani, squad member. What's the best way to assess AI software or applications? Any learning resources out there from the squad or anyone? Yeah, that's a great question. So, guys, if you have any resources out there, drop them in chat. Unfortunately, Gina Ghani, it's really tough right now. We are dealing with kind of a perfect storm where everybody, meaning software vendors, are slapping AI on everything. And it's basically just a ChatGPT 4 API backend call. That's what it is. But there's, you know, you get AI, you get AI. Because if you don't have AI in your security product right now, then no one's going to buy your product. Like, unfortunately, the market demands AI, right?
Shall we play a game?
Okay, so as far as analyzing it, so I'm taking that as a GRC question. Of course, I'm super biased for GRC. GRC for the win. Okay, so when you're evaluating a product, there's a couple things that you need to do. One, you have to do your standard, you know, kind of questionnaire stuff, like how is access controlled? How is the data you put in it being handled? Can you remove the data from it, right? So like, let's say ChatGPT, right? If you put data in it, is OpenAI collect the data, keep the data, whatever? I know there's instances where there's a major healthcare platform called Epic, and they have a contract with OpenAI where they'll put healthcare data in, get some type of output from OpenAI or ChatGPT, and then ChatGPT deletes the data. So in those instances, Epic is paying for the service of having that data not retained by OpenAI. But those are questions you want to ask. Also very important, again, I gave a whole hour keynote on AI, specifically within the healthcare space last Wednesday, 2 days ago. But you need to understand, like, This is going to be really hard, Gina Ghani, but you need to understand what was the date, what was the model trained on, okay? So there are all sorts of inherent biases inside of AI because AI is only smart on the data it is trained on, and I'll give you a perfect example. There has been multiple instances of AI having a hard bias for light skin. Like, here's one. Dermatologists, right? You can use AI to detect abnormalities on the skin. If a light-skinned person, Caucasian, whatever, goes to the dermatologist and gets scanned, AI has a very high fidelity of saying, yes, right there is cancer. Get that off that man, right? Now, a darker-skinned person, because the model was trained on mostly lighter-skinned people, a darker-skinned person goes to the dermatologist, has a big old honking piece of cancer on them, and the AI scans them, and it has a far less fidelity on detecting the cancer or the abnormality because it isn't trained on good data, okay? And that's just an easy example to be able to convey to other people, but it's all over the place, right? Here's another one. This one will shock you. Let me pull this up right now, okay? This one's going to shock you. This one's actually quite gross, but this one's going to gross you out, okay? But this is a perfect example that you can tell to your business stakeholders on why biases matter, okay? Check this out. Amazon wanted to use AI to go through resumes faster, hire the best talent, outsource the, or, you know, optimize the HR workflows and processes. Okay. Makes sense. Sounds good. Hold on. I see a super chat. JK Illidel for the super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Whoa. Got a sock job this week in the Simply Cyber Threat Briefing. Jerry Sock Videos, GRC Masterclass helped. Thank you. Yes, my favorite sound effect on the board, Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball, reserved exclusively for people breaking into industry or getting cyber jobs. And my man, JK Illidelf, has just dropped a hammer on everybody. Very nice. Okay, so check this out. Amazon basically wanted to optimize hiring practices. Now, here's the problem. The tech industry, right? Cybersecurity, tech, et cetera. It's male dominated, right? Like, let's just call it what it is. Okay. I know tons of excellent female professionals, Jess Bishop, Stacey Loki, Jenny Housley, Kimberly Can Fix It, Jack Scott, Erica McDuffie, Jessica Hyde. Like, the list can go on. Whitney Champion. I know a million amazing female professionals. I don't care if you're female, male, non-binary, like keeping it to yourself. What doesn't matter. Can you do the job? How good are you at work? Right? Amazon, but it's male dominated. Amazon trained their model on the people that they had hired, which was mostly male. So the AI said, oh, I know what makes a good candidate. They have to be male. And because of that, female resumes got downgraded and male resumes got elevated. So you could be an all-star female candidate, and the AI was like, nope, because you're female. Not the AI's fault. The data it was modeled on was mostly male, so it said, oh, male must be a key factor in the success of a candidate. Boom, horrible, and it just shows you like why you got to be mindful. So hopefully that helps, Gina Ghani. I know that was like a really long answer. I'm going to go a little faster now. Hold on, let's get some music going. Have a good weekend, Angular. Okay, so Marcus G says, for IR, do you always tell a company to deny paying the ransomware groups? Curious how the conversation goes with C-suite. No, Marcus. No. Here's the deal. If you can't legally pay the ransom because, like, it would violate law, then you can't pay the ransom. Sometimes you can't pay the ransom because there's certain ransomware groups that are identified as terrorist organizations, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but I mean, they are terrorists, but you could be funding terrorism. So you got to be careful with that. But here's the reality, guys. If you put in the right controls, you don't have to pay the ransom technically, right? Because you could recover. Maybe you absorb the hit of like the public scrutiny and identity theft protection. But here's the deal. This is a fact, okay? Some businesses, when they get hit, they will literally say, we will go out of business if we do not get back up in the next 4 days. Our cash flow is that tight. We will go out of business. We do not have a choice. We need to pay the ransom. Period. Full stop. It is a business decision to pay that ransom. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you like paying the ransom. It literally means that you will go out of business. You will have to fire or lay off your whole staff, the families that depend on those paychecks. This is why ransomware is such a blight on society. It has cascading impacts on people who did nothing wrong. So yeah, no. You have to evaluate the situation and then make the best decision for the business. It's like a lawyer championing you. All right. Angie Yarbrough says, good morning. I just graduated cyber boot camp. I'm studying for Sec Plus. Any pointers? Yes, Angie Yarbrough. First, congratulations on graduating. Secondly, if you're studying for Security Plus, you've got to go to Jesse Johnson, Slay Security Plus. Absolutely a solid opportunity to study for the Security Plus, connect with other professionals, and do it in a fun, inclusive way. Here we go. Every Thursday. So, Angie, you just missed it last night, but get on that. And then, Angie, what I would say is figure out whatever role you want to do in cyber and start leaning into that. Obviously, continue to show up here, engage, build your portfolio, focus on practical skills. All right. So, the Simply Cyber DMV is the Maryland area. I'm a complete donkey. Let's continue. Where are we doing? So Casually Joseph, who does work with threat actors on the reg, says if the victim organization, this is in regards to does a business pay the ransomware, if they pass an OFAC check, OFAC, you can pay them. Different companies have different approaches to negotiating ransom. 80% of the time, they pay. But your goal is to get the payment as low as possible. Interesting. Yeah. Threat actors negotiate. That's what's up. All right. Is boot camp actually respected in the industry? I'm applying to help desk jobs to break in and still struggling. What else can I do to make myself a good candidate? Mice in Milk asks right here. Okay. So here, listen, Mice in Milk. This is true for everything. Boot camps, okay, they're not disrespected in industry, and they're not respected in industry, okay? They're agnostic. Let me explain. There's a lot of scam boot camps out there that suck, and they make it bad. Not all boot camps are a scam, though, okay? So you got to do your due diligence to make sure you're doing a good one. Second of all, this is the secret sauce, okay, for everybody. When you do a boot camp, don't just put like graduated, you know, Iron Forge cyber boot camp and that's it. Like, that's fine. But again, as a hiring manager, that doesn't move the needle for me. Chances are I don't even know what that boot camp is. So to me, it's just words on the page. What you need to do is realize what it is you learned at that boot camp. What impact can you make in my organization? Did you set up a SIM? Did you do post-exploitation? Did you do detection engineering? Did you analyze, PCAPs? Like, what did you do in the boot camp? What skills do you have, right? Boot camps typically do give you practical skills. Practical skills are so important. They are the key differentiator in going with you as a candidate versus a competitor or another applicant. You need to capture and document fully the skills you got at the boot camp. That is the trick, okay? Yeah, okay, and so BSEC's point, I don't think you need a boot camp for a help desk job 100%. I'm talking about boot camps in general for any job. For a help desk, you don't need that. But help desk is entry level. You should be able to get a help desk job. Help desks, they can be grindy because, you know, you're constantly on the phone. You're constantly dealing with people who are in a, you know, frustrated situation. That's why they're calling help desk, because they need help getting something resolved. They can be rude. So, you know, it's a tough gig, but most of the questions you're going to get on a help desk are the same questions. So there's scripts written, there's FAQs written, there's knowledge bases written. So that's why it's an entry level job, because they can train you up quickly on it. You do not need a boot camp in general. Yeah. Hey, by the way, when you're analyzing a boot camp, if all you do is like lecture, it's not a good boot camp. You need hands-on practical experience, or else it's a waste of money. Doug Elsener, I'm just reading in chat here. Mod Chat dropped the same thing. Long story short, was recently laid off and wanted to finally start a career in IT cyber. Welcome to the party, pal. Also, sorry you got laid off. That sucks. Doug has a bachelor's in IT. Any idea where to start? Starting from help desk, the best way to go. All right, so Doug, help desk is a fine way to go. If you want to start getting some money coming in, right? You can. All right, so here's the deal. Couple options, Doug. Starting at the help desk, great solution. You can pivot or evolve. You can grow out a help desk pretty quickly, right? Also, if you work help desk at an organization, and it, you know, depending on the organization, you might be able to pivot into the information security office internally. So that's super useful and super helpful. Hey, another thing BSEC's asking, like, what were you laid off from, Doug? There's plenty of opportunities for you to leverage prior experience. I have like 10 videos on the channel on going from pharmacy to IT, marketing to IT, K through 12 teacher to IT, rabbi to IT, or not IT, cyber, all these things to cyber. So you can leverage that, you know, very well. The final thing I'll say, and again, I don't really pump this very often. I suck. By the way, I suck at, I'm really good at doing a lot of things. I'm really bad at reminding people and telling people about all the things that are going on. But anyways, Doug, what I would really recommend strongly is do this. Literally, I wrote this cheat sheet. It literally is designed for people pivoting from a previous career into cybersecurity. There's the cheat sheet, and then you basically get the cheat sheet immediately, and then the next day I send you an email with this pivot kit in it. The pivot kit. Pivot. So, dude, I made like these two sick... I don't usually talk very highly of my own work, right? I feel like it's pretty arrogant and just not a good look to like talk about your own work. I let other people talk about my work, for better or worse. But I will say, in this rare instance, this pivot kit and the cheat sheet are awesome. I'm very proud of the work that I did with this. So all I would say is, Doug, go to this URL, or anybody go to it. I mean, sign up, get it, and it'll email it to you. Get the cheat sheet, get the pivot kit, and then get busy. Oh my God, mods are making fun of me. I love it. Thank you, mods. All right, what else we got? Hey, Jerry, Joe, Nathan, I'm in a weird limbo. I'm about to graduate college. Congratulations. And I just finished a cyber labs program with ReliaQuest. Okay, I'm waiting to see if I get a job, internship, nothing. So Roderick Johnson, thanks for the kind words about the pivot kit. Sierra Montgomery, thanks for the kind words about the pivot kit. Joe, Nathan, what I would say is, I mean, ask Cyber Hamburglar this personally. So Cyber Hamburglar, maybe, echo what I'm saying, but at Joe Nathan, you have to network. You have to network. You can apply blindly to 500 jobs and you might not hear back from any of them. If you network with professionals in the space, they will know about opportunities that maybe were never even published. They will know that you are capable. You went through the ReliaQuest. Let me ask you, Joe Nathan, I hope you made friends. I hope you made contacts in that boot camp. In your program, were you like the guy sitting in the back of the class, or did you sit and engage with the professors? I'm a professor at the Citadel Military College. I'm telling you for a fact, every semester, I tell the students, listen, this is going to be, you know, you make what you want of this experience, but I work in industry. Charles Finfrock is going to guest lecture at some point this semester. He gives internships to his company, to my students. I tell them that, and then 99% of my students just do their thing. They don't, you know, for whatever, there's good, you know, good and bad or whatever. But there's always one student who pushes and connects and asks the, you know, interesting questions and follows up with me. And, you know, after class, little one-on-one stuff. And I always recommend that one student. So I hope, Joe Nathan, I know that, you know, you're already like 3/4 of the way down the track on the drag race here, but those are some examples. You need to network. You can apply blankly to jobs, but network, okay? Hey, and I'm telling you right now, I'm a perfect example. So I will share this story with you guys. Some of you know it because I've said it on the streams in the past, but when I went through college, okay, hey, do you remember earlier, if you were here for the Daily Cyber Threat Briefing, I talked about this story and about the students, 18 to 22 year olds, making silly decisions, right? I talked about this. Listen, I based that on my own reality. When I, listen, this is, okay, so here's just a little, gather around the campfire. This is a Tidbits Tuesday on Friday. Here's the deal. When I went through high school, I was in gifted programs. I took AP everything. I was honors everything. I was really smart, okay? And I did great, okay? But I didn't really try hard. That was my problem. Like, high school wasn't challenging. So I just cruised through it and got great grades, took all the hard classes, no big deal. Then I went to UMass Amherst in computer science. And I kind of cruised through that. But like, I was just like, this is what I'm doing. I'm here to like party, right? And I had a great college experience. I made lots of friends. None of them were in computer science or cybersecurity didn't even exist back then, but none of them were in that space. And I literally thought, and I, Joe Nathan, I'm not saying this is you, but I literally thought that you just graduate with a computer science degree and freaking people line up. Like, it's like an assembly line and there's a whole host of businesses just waiting to get their hands on the next crop of computer scientists. Like it's the NFL draft, right? And I graduated, and then I started applying to jobs, right? Like in like June. And oh my God, lo and behold, there's no freaking jobs because I didn't know anyone. I'm blanket applying all over the place. I literally had to work as a mason tender, which means I got up at 5 a.m. and carried 50-pound bags of cement for 8 hours. And I carried bricks, like 2 tongs of bricks, so 50 pounds each arm for 8 hours, walking up scaffolding with bricks, using a rope to pull the bricks up scaffolding, mixing cement by hand. Now, that sucked. And I wish somebody had been doing, you know, the Daily Cyber Threat Brief back then to tell, you know, 22-year-old Jerry to get his act together. But that's the reality, okay? Side channel or side note. The Mason was a family, it was my cousin's father-in-law, right? So I got my first job doing construction through networking. Jesus, I just realized that. Side note, I will tell you, if you've ever met me in person, I'm not, you know, I have a runner's body, I guess, to put it plainly. That summer, I got a job in October doing software development. But for 3 months, I basically worked out for 8 hours a day doing the heaviest, hardest work. I was shredded. My back looked like a picnic table. My body looked like a V. It was insane. I was unbelievably shredded. So it's possible to get that way. But you also have to basically work out like a maniac for 40 hours a week to achieve that. So no, I'm good. Hard pass. All right, let's go. Yes, exactly. right here, this is in mod chat. The caption reads, "I'll take one job, please, because I'm smart." Oh my God. By the way, Sleepy, really good show, Brooklyn 99. If you know, you know. All right, let's do some more. I'm looking at chat now. Dude, I gotta do Granite right now, working on my cyber degree. Oh, so Kyle knows what I'm talking about. Kyle's probably shredded too. Dude, it's hard. It's hard. You want to appreciate working a desk job? Go work in construction for a hot minute. Ugh. Megan Gray liked the joke. That's funny. Thanks, Megan. Still waiting for AI takeover. Yeah. George Jumbo says, I graduated from college with an associate's degree in network security plus and just got my sec plus, but all jobs required a bachelor's degree. How do you get one? How do you get a job? Well, so if the job says that it requires a bachelor's degree, George, what you really need to do is think like this is what HR says. If you can do the job and the hiring manager, like unless it's like a Fortune 500 company where they're so rigid with their policy that you can't get around it. But a lot of times, if you can demonstrate capability and talk to the hiring manager because you're networking, then that requirement will be dashed to the side. Okay. Also, as a little bit of a hack, choose your own adventure on this. Never lie, but be honest. But if you were to enter a bachelor's program, George, right? If you were to get accepted to a bachelor's program, but you were doing it like one course a semester, you could technically put on your resume, bachelor's degree from University of whatever, anticipated graduation date 2032. And then for applicant tracking systems that scan resumes, it would say bachelor's degree on your resume. Again, be honest, but that is a hack to get through the ATS stuff and still be honest. All right. So somebody coming up on Twitch, since 2020, our community has come together every year to do a series of extremely casual live streams and job videos to help beginners get good tech jobs starting from absolutely zero. Cool. Nice job, believe. Okay, hold on. I don't know what the skill stock IO boost is. So mods, can someone like run that through URL scan? Like no offense, believe. You're new to me and you're dropping URLs in chat. So I just, trust but verify. If someone can run that skill stack boost through URL scan to make sure it's a legit link. And then if it's just, yeah. All right. So believe is, marketing their, program right now. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you, believe, for dropping that in. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. So mods, check that and believe, welcome here. We just started pushing over to Twitch recently, so you might be the only one over there, but we love it. Gotta go. Oh, hey, okay, so that's even better. Believe isn't with the program, but they're going through it. Awesome. What I would say is, to Believe's point, if you're going to do a boot camp or anything like that, talk to somebody who's gone through it or going through it that's not financially incentivized to recruit people to it. So Believe, great example, like sharing information, it's a good thing. It's the only way to discover if a boot camp is legit or not. Mods are saying it's a free program. So good. Thanks, Believe, for sharing that. And folks, go check that out. Believe's dropped it in chat. Oh my God, Joel Harrison, roofing is hard. Roofing is hard. Roofing is brutal, man, especially in the summer. Would love to network and seek opportunities from anyone in San Diego. So Doug Elsener, let me tell you, Doug, let's put this on screen. Doug, look at this. Doug, right here on the Simply Cyber Discord server, we have a local meetup for San Diego. Boston Rob is the ambassador over there. Go to this channel and say hello and say you're in the San Diego area and you're looking to meet up with other cyber pros and let's rock. Let's go. Exclamation point Discord in chat if you need the link to the Discord server. We're just about at time. All right. All right, guys, it's been fun. Wicked appreciate it. Shout out to Gary Ruddle for joining us today. Shout out to Daniel Lowry for joining us today. Shout out to Jenny Housley for modding. Kimberly Can Fix It for modding. J Mod, Justin Gold for modding. Casually Joseph, BSec for modding. Guys, you know what? One of my favorite emotes is the welcome to the party, pal. But a close second is the mod love. I genuinely appreciate it. Base Case earlier this week, we had Cisco on yesterday. Base Case helped me with like logistics and green room stuff. So cool. By the way, if you guys didn't know, check this out. How many people here? Still 310. Check this out. This is crazy. So yesterday on Simply Cyber Live, we had this guy, Craig Connor, on. You know, good conversation, really smart guy. He just like casually dropped that he invented SD-WAN. If you don't know what SD-WAN is, it's basically like how modern firewalls work, essentially, right? Like next gen, like software-defined networking. Like, he invented it. And he's just like, oh yeah, I just kind of did that on the side, right? Like modern networks, like you can like, I mean, it goes beyond firewalls, but it's like the way that networking works now. So cool. Yes, Marcus Kyler, Cisco. Also a really cool guy. We're actually going to have him back on again. He was super cool. At some point during the show, I like punched my water bottle and it blew up on the side of my wall and everything. And he perfectly worked in that donkey move into the stream. He's really smart guy. Super cool. All right, guys. Yeah, BSec. We'll have him back on. It was cool. All right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Oh, hold on. Here's a link to that video. I'm actually going to be posting on LinkedIn about that, and I'm actually going to be posting a really cool infographic as well. Anyways, guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for all you do. 310 stayed for the jawjacking. Continues to just amaze me. You guys are so awesome. Kathy Chambers, if you're in here, what's up? Kevtech IT support, thanks for the squad members and hope you're well. Looked good in Romania. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Everybody from Dabs Only to Tracy TLC and Reed Hurlbert, be good, have a great time, and stay secure. See you guys on Monday. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.